Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before that can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. I wasn't sure if you were here or not, but but all of a sudden the music went off and I go, oh, Nicole's here. because I know I didn't push the music off. So how are you today? Are you there?
Hello.
All right. Hey, Cindy, I'm here. I heard everything that you were saying. Yeah, no, I'm in the other queue right now because as I was calling in, you were, I guess, calling in at the same time. So you beat me to the punch by like a couple of seconds because 1 minute I was there and then all of a sudden I was kicked off. So I had to call back in on the other number.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you're here. And
yep. How
is everything going your way?
It's not too shabby. You know, I was under the weather, which sucks, but other than that, it's okay.
Okay, you sound like you have a little bit of a cold. Do you have a cold?
Yeah, well, you know what? It started as allergies last week, and I had kind of a long week last week, and then I guess by not clearing everything that was going on because of the allergies, I got a sinus infection. So.
Always fun. Well, I hope that you'll get some rest. And as you can see, we have a lot of callers. And I had certain people that called that sent me something they want to talk today. If you want to talk to me, you have to press 1. So the first one I'm going to pick up is going to be Irene, and she's the 917-5647. Okay, so you might want to mark that down.
Yeah, got it.
And then the next one we're going to talk to is the 704-9658.
Okay, and who's that?
Pat, that's Pat.
Okay.
And then Susan said she was going to call in, but I didn't get her number, so I'm not sure what her number is. So. So I'm not sure about that. I think she's a 516 number, but I'm not sure. So those
I don't
are the
516 is that I think I see 1516 that pressed 1 just now. So
I will
jump to that number if that's the case, and then I will go through and start queuing people up.
Okay, that would be perfect. And so let's see if we can go right over to Irene, and I think. Our listeners will probably find this call very interesting because Irene is always interesting.
All righty, Dad. Hello, Irene. You're on the air.
Am I interesting in a good way or a bad way?
You could never be in a bad way. You see, you're just very intelligent. And, you're always the kind of person that gets a lot of insights into many, many, many things. So I'm really glad So I know that you had messaged me a little bit about what this call would be, so maybe you could fill in our listeners.
Yeah. So one of my best friends OD'd a week ago today, actually, and it was over the 2-year anniversary. One of my other childhood best friends OD'd 2 years ago, and this friend, this other friend that OD'd, like basically OD'd at like almost to the day 2 years later, a week ago. So I've been not in a good space with that and grieving like pretty heavily about that and having like a lot of different emotions about it naturally. So it's like, you know what, I need to talk to Cindy about this.
Okay. Now, you know, you're getting your doctorate and, you know, you're going to be a therapist. Is there a message in here for you, maybe, that this is a big problem in America and this is not going away anytime soon, and that people
Absolutely.
Are not helping with this problem, and that because I don't think these two deaths are supposed to be in vain, and I don't think they're supposed to be to cause you pain. I think it's to wake you up to the fact that people are not getting the help they need. Okay. And, you know, these drugs are so highly addictive that 90% of people can't get off of them. And the reason I really wanted you to call into the show today was because I felt that, you know, I want to, like, really educate our listeners to the fact that you have a 1 in 4 chance of dying if you do any street drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You or anyone you love, because they're all cut with fentanyl. So
this is a serious.
I mean, your friend who died did not want to die, by the way. That's the one thing he came through to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to die, okay? That wasn't, you know, his intention. And, you know, it's not right that these people are not being, you know, given chances to live. And he wasn't always telling the truth at the end. Did you talk to him at all?
Exactly. Yes, I literally talked to him 2 weeks before this happened, like literally 2 weeks. And the thing is that what's interesting about it is that when I talked to him, he wasn't his normal self during that conversation. So I had it in my head, like, I'm going to reach out to him again. Let me just give him a little bit of space and I'll reach out to him again. And I never got a chance to do that.
Okay. Now, he knows you feel guilty about that. Like, you know, that, oh, if I had gotten to him, maybe I could have made a difference. Okay. And, you know, right now he's saying you couldn't have made a difference, mainly because he was lying. Okay. He wasn't himself because he was really heavy duty using. And he wasn't receptive to hearing how to unuse. Okay. And so he wasn't being honest.
Well, he was not open to help. Like, he did not want to go to rehab. He was not having it. His family tried to get him to go. It wasn't happening. He wasn't going to go. So,
no.
You know.
And we can't tell people that. Well, and first of all, making someone go to rehab when they don't want to go is a waste of money. Okay?
Exactly.
If they don't want to get clean, you just thrown away money. And you're taking a space from someone who might actually be saved by it. So he liked to get high. What he just said to me is, I like to get high. He was so, you know, and it kind of accelerated what he's saying. He's a very clear voice for someone who recently died, by the way. But he's
he actually came to me a few nights ago, like a clear voice. He was literally talking to me when, like, I woke up from my sleep because he was talking to me in my ear. Like, a normal person would come up to you and talk to you. Like, he was talking to me, and I don't remember what he said at all. It was just, like, 2 or 3 days ago, I woke up from my sleep because he was talking to me, and I was like, it was his voice. So I believe that his voice is clear, because it was clear when he was talking to me. I just don't remember what he said, so.
He's a very clear voice. You know, he's a very, very clear voice, okay? And his drug use really accelerated in the last few weeks before his death, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he just got into this thing where he just wanted to get high. And, you know, he was a little nervous about even the drugs that he was using because he was afraid they might be cut with fentanyl, but it looks to me like he got it backed with fentanyl. I mean, that will come out in his, you know, the toxicology reports. But he kind of had it in his mind that he was never going to get cleaned and that he wasn't going to be long for this earth. He didn't expect to die so soon. You know, in any other historic time, he probably would not have died of an overdose because it would have been heroin or, you know, whatever drugs they're buying. If you're buying Percocet, one of my clients' child died because he took what he thought was a street Percocet, and it was fentanyl, and he died. So it doesn't matter what you're using on the street, but historically, he would have probably lived for years being an addict, you know, like it wouldn't have killed him. So, but the universe made a decision to take him up because he just wasn't going to get clean, and he was going to start incurring a lot of negative karma. He's a nice guy, by the way, but he wouldn't have maintained.
He's literally one of my best friends for the last 30 years. Like, he's an amazing person.
And he seemed to lose interest in everything but drugs. If he had lived another few months, you wouldn't even know who he was. He's just not the same person he used to be at all. Mm-hmm. And he was busy trying to lie to you. And, you know, the one thing you're going to learn as a therapist is, you know, if people lie to us, we can't help them.
I work at a rehab this year. Ironically, so
really?
I work with addicts. Yeah. So.
And how are you liking it or enjoying it, or do you feel it's helping?
I think that it's made me grow to even like a stronger therapist, because that population is very high burnout and it takes a lot of, you know, energy. So it's definitely made me a stronger therapist, but obviously in the last week working with my clients while I'm grieving this, it has been particularly challenging, to say the least. So,
right. Pay attention, because he's going to give you what's called waking dreams. You'll be dealing with a patient, and they may say something that you know he would have said. Okay, it's you know, he's in a good realm. There's a special realm opened up for American drug addicts on the good side. God didn't know what to do with these people. They're not held fully responsible. This is an extremely drug-infested culture. It's a capitalist culture. It's big business. It's big money. Nobody's trying to stop it. It's a billion-dollar industry. And so, you know, he's not held fully accountable. In that realm, he will be trained how to help other addicts. That's what they get trained in doing, so that he'll be able to guide over and watch them, and he'll be helpful. He said he'll help you in your practice, and he's clapping his hands, okay? I got the rest in peace card across from the tower card, which means, you know, his death was sudden. The other card I got next to that was that he wasn't playing fair with people. Nobody could help him because he didn't want to be helped. So,
right.
You know, these are the things that are really painful lessons to learn. And, you know, you as a therapist are going to see this over and over again, people you help that die of overdoses, and they kill themselves, and it's horrifying. And all you're going to have to do is, you're the messenger. You do your job to the best of your ability, and then it's up to them. I mean, he feels terrible because he knows he hurt you more than anything, but he was really not the same guy you knew.
Feel angry with him. I'm like, I feel like you left me. That's how I feel. Like, you left me. Like, and I know that's probably really selfish, but that's how I've just been feeling. Yeah.
And he was supposed to be here to help you, be there to be your friend. But, you know, when you're using heavy drugs, that part of your brain where you know people love you and care about you stops operating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much, he got to the point where, you know, his day was like, what drugs am I going to get? What drugs am I going to use? You know, like, that became his life. And he didn't like being that person either at all. I mean, he feels terrible because everyone did try to help him. He's very intelligent, that much I'll tell you. He's an extremely intelligent guy. You know, because he wouldn't have learned how to communicate so well so quickly. You know, there's other guys, people that he knew who overdosed up there too. There's your other friend that died, but there's other people that, you know, he knows other people that overdosed. They have meted and greeted him up there. You know, the world he was moving in wasn't great. What he's asking you to do is forgive him, the person, maybe not his actions.
Yeah.
You know, his actions aren't forgivable because they've hurt a lot of people. But he certainly wasn't tending to hurt people.
Right.
By the way. You know, Nicole, do you have anything to add to this about what we're talking about? Because I know Nicole knows this world a little bit. She may be screening people still, but this is something that I've been very vocal about for 20 years now, how much heroin was on Long Island, and it's a place that was ground zero for heroin in this country. Now it's spread everywhere.
Right.
Where did he live?
Brooklyn.
Okay, Brooklyn has a tremendous heroin problem, a tremendous opiate and fentanyl problem in there. I mean, tremendous. Even people thinking they're taking ecstasy, it's fentanyl. People thinking they're taking Adderall, like it's fentanyl. I mean, so you know, the number of overdoses during COVID, I think they said last year 93,000 people in the United States died of overdoses.
Yeah, there's been a huge increase, especially with COVID. Yeah,
with COVID, and it's tremendous. It's maybe it's linked to the isolation, but it's also. But it's also linked to the fact that during COVID, the more legitimate dealers, if you want to call it that were dealing, you know, real products left because they didn't want to catch COVID. And what was left were these, like, high school, grade school dropouts mixing fentanyl in their basement, pushing it out. So that's what's happened.
When a dealer has a client, I'll call them quote-unquote client, die on them, their business actually goes up because in the addict's mind, they think, oh, that dealer has the strong drug. So it's actually not a deterrent when somebody dies, you find out that a dealer had someone die, that it actually makes them more appealing because people think, oh, okay, that's the high that I want. So in the addict, when the drug takes over, the addict is saying, like, wants that high so badly, you're willing to die for it, you know, so.
Right, exactly, and that's why it's like, really horrifying. And the number of my clients that have experienced their family members dying, and my timer goes off at the weirdest time, the amount of people experiencing this people overdosing is astronomical. And there are my clients that were very wealthy, married to people they had no idea were addicts. You know, no idea. And there are, I mean, it's so astronomical a number. So we have, please, you know, put that word out on the street that, you know, this is a dangerous time to be an addict. And, you know, you were right when you said they're chasing a high, because that's exactly how he felt. He felt like, I just wanted a stronger. So, you know, he will keep giving you signs. He is resting in peace. He's at peace. He didn't like being the person that he was, okay? And he didn't know how to stop being that person anymore. And he kind of resigned himself that he was going to end up dying sooner or later from this. Like,
he made hints about that, so I don't know why I was surprised. Because he would make hints here and there about, you know? So I believe that. Yeah.
So what I'm trying to tell you is he made a decision that he wasn't going to be strong enough to get off of these. And he wants you to know you didn't fail him. He failed you. And but he's actually peaceful. He's the guy you knew before addictions. He doesn't have addictions anymore. He doesn't have his body. So he's this really nice, really nice, intelligent guy. He said he's exhausted, by the way. You know, he's exhausted. So he probably needs to rest. I mean, he's I'm exhausted. But he was grateful. And the reason the universe had to yank him up is it's not a crime against humanity to be a drug addict, but it is a crime against humanity to do the things that drug addicts do. Stealing, dealing, prostituting, whatever they need to do to keep their drug. And even being a drug dealer, it's never a karmically correct career, but if you're dealing a drug that's mixed properly and won't kill people who are already hooked, it's you're providing a service, okay? You won't necessarily land on the bad side with Hitler for it, as long as you don't get people hooked or rehooked. But to sell a product with fentanyl is a crime against humanity. And by the way, I'm hoping that his family will try to get hold of his cell phone and trace the dealer, because one of my client's son died of fentanyl poisoning.
The cell phone's missing.
Yeah, no kidding, because they take it and throw it out. But one of my clients whose son died 2 years ago, she was one of the first people, because I made her go after the dealer, and that dealer got manslaughter, you know, arrested for and charged with manslaughter and is in jail now. So the phones disappear because they don't want you to find out the dealer. That's why the phone disappears.
Right.
It's probably in the Hudson River or something, you know.
Right.
But he'll give you a sign. I'm glad you called in because he wants you to know he's okay. He keeps saying, tell her I'm okay. I'm good. You know, and
I'm not okay. That's the thing. Like, I'm not okay.
And again,
but
that's the whole point with addicts. You know, they're dying young. It's not natural. I knew this 20 years ago when I first saw heroin on Long Island, and I was very vocal about it. I went to the local papers. I was saying, we have a problem brewing in one town on Long Island. If you don't nip this in the bud, we're going to really we're not going to have enough coffins to bury the young in a decade. And my job is not supposed to be talking to young people who overdose. It's supposed to be talking to old ladies that died, okay, an old
lady.
My job is probably 30% of my readings is people coming to talk to someone who overdosed. So it's frightening. And they're getting older. I mean, my clients that buried their husbands, these men were 45 years old. They're not 20. And there are plenty of kids dying very young, but it's shocking the amount of people that are older dying too, that are 45 years old dying from it.
Right.
And again, and please, you know, God had shut down schools. He shut down this. He shut down because of part of the reason he shut down the world with COVID was to shut down schools. That's where kids were buying drugs. God's trying to do stuff about this, but he can't stop what humans don't stop. So, you know, really be vocal about it. I'm glad that you brought this up because I think it's a topic that we needed to discuss because it is such an astronomical problem right now. And, you know, it's not right
quick
because
question
teenagers.
For you, Cindy?
What'd you say?
I said, quick question for you. Whatever he was saying to me in my ear, will that be revealed to me? Like what that was at some point?
Basically, yes. Like what he was trying to tell you was that he's sorry, he said. I love you and I'm sorry and I'll watch over you. He kept saying he's sorry to you is what he said. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know this hurts. I'm sorry. And, you know, he's really a polite, nice person, by the way, on the other side. He's really a nice guy. You know, and that's the sad part about it. Well, keep us posted and call in or let us know if you get any more signs from him.
I will. I definitely will. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. We have Pat. Okay. Let's see. We're going to go to Pat. I'm trying to get her live. Hi, Pat. You're live and on the air.
Hi there.
It wouldn't come on. I'm like, Pat, I think Jim is screwing up the electronics because I hit the thing 18 times and it wouldn't hit.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
He's probably saying, well, guess what? Tough luck. Let her wait.
Let her wait. So how are you now? I know, so I'm trying to read Nicole's notes. So what do you feel about 2019?
Nicole's here. You stole
it
from me.
I'm not sure what these notes mean, so can you clarify, please?
But yeah, I was mid-sentence, and you stole it.
That's why we were laughing when you picked up. You did that the last time, too, when it called in. We were, in mid-sentence, and we just started laughing hysterically when you picked up.
That's funny. Okay, so...
All right.
So, Nicole, please explain what this little note means so I can help Pat.
So that you know. So, basically, in a nutshell, and Pat, you can chime in anytime you want to here. With everything that has happened from 2019 until now, she wants to know whether or not we're starting to see the light, you know, whether or not we're starting to see everything moving forward. She also wants you to know that she got a dog, okay, who's a little bit skittish with the husband. But she wants to know, you know, what your feelings are around that. And please keep in mind that, of course, nothing can be easy. Not only did she rescue a damn dog. Dog doesn't speak English. Okay?
The dog doesn't what?
Dog doesn't speak English.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right.
She's from Russia.
She's not only trying to get a rescue animal that was on the street to be domesticated, but she's also teaching the damn dog English.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Well, she really has her hands full. Wow.
Well, you know, Pat could never do anything really that easy.
Wow.
She's got her own passport, too.
She's got her own passport, which I think is adorable. It has a picture on it.
Wow.
It's got all the vaccinations and everything in there. Of course, in Russian.
Oh, yeah, they know. It's very helpful, isn't it?
The people, when they brought her into Miami, I'm sure, you know, they know what they have to look for and what they have to read and all this stuff. So it was more fun when I took her to the vet, and the vet says, okay, now what are we going to do here? The only one that they really could figure out was the rabies shot. It said, actually, rabies on the top, not just
Russian. What you can do is try to scan it and then put it into your computer because it could translate, you know?
Right. I think that's what the vet finally did because they made copies of the entire passport, which they have never, ever seen before. They've never seen anything like this for an animal having its own passport. So they did that and stuff, and they said, okay, this is all the things we have to do. And she says, just to be extra safe, seeing that she came from another country, even though she's been here since, she was here since June 19th, and we got her July 5th. She said, I feel it's safe. Let's worm her again to be extra safe. So we've been doing that, too. But we're done for now for the next 3 weeks, and then we got to do it again. But, yeah, so she is learning. She's learning really quick, I think. You know, within 2 days, she knew the word come. And I got her to learn to sit. The vet was impressed that she had learned that stuff that quick. But the vet turned around and said, if you can get past all her quirks, you're going to have a super smart dog on your hand. Hence, really smart.
Wow. Well, I could see that, too. I could see that. And, you know, your son said he'll help you. You know,
because his father's getting very frustrated.
He said he will really, really, really help, okay? And he promises that, you know, he said the dog is very smart and very good. So, yes. Now, about 2019, 2022 is supposed to be a very good year for people. So we're still a little bit in the pause that 2020 and 2021 called for. We're going to reset the world, and 2022 looks better. Okay, so hang in there a little bit. As far as you going, things look pretty good in your cards. I know God is like so happy that you got this dog, because this dog really needed a nice home, you know, and you're providing it. I can't believe they couldn't find a home in Russia for it, but, was there any reason they couldn't find a home in Russia?
I don't know, but the people that got her here in the United States, they live in Hilton Head Island. They do a dog rescue, and they're from Russia.
Oh, okay.
So I guess they bring them over because, they said pretty much any of the dogs that live on the street in Russia tend to die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're not, forget it and stuff. And they're so overwhelmed with dogs, so that's why I think maybe they sent her over here.
Wow.
You know,
well, your son seems to have, this dog you're going to have a very soulful connection with, okay? So hang in there. Because the dog, you're going to really connect. And remember, souls can connect telepathically. It doesn't matter what language. The dog is smart. If you just keep, saying a command, the dog will get it.
She does. She's very, very good with me. It's just we're getting very frustrated because she keeps barking at my husband.
She must not like men, maybe. She's intimidated by them?
No, the guy that we picked her up from, he had no problems with her. But he was—he wasn't the type of a. We'll just say my husband is a construction person. Okay.
Oh, okay, he's a big guy.
Yeah, so he's a bigger guy and stuff. With this guy that, you know, brought her to us and stuff, and we picked her up from. He was more of a person, more on a smaller build.
Right.
Having a rescue, definitely a much kind, and I'm not saying my husband's not kind, a kinder disposition.
Right. And, you know, the dog is pretty good at picking up energy. So, my advice to your husband is to just stay, not be quiet, but not, talk quiet and softly to not scare the dog, okay?
He has done that. He's lowered his voice. And the vet even said if he could to try to slow his heart rate.
Wow.
She told me that. She said, have your husband try to slow his heart rate because it'll make the dog feel more comfortable. I go, well, you might as well tell me to take my head and smash it against the wall.
Yeah, your husband's an anxious guy. The dog's an empath. The dog can feel energies, and your husband's like a little uptight,
Well, he's uptight now because he's scared that she's not going to like him.
She will like him. Just give it a little time. Okay, it's showing that the dog is going to like him in the future. Just give it a little time. The dog's
it's just
attached
so funny,
to you
though.
I know, well, you know.
Oh, she's attached to me like forget it.
Right, I said the dog is going to. And, it just looks like be a little patient. The dog looks, it was a good move getting the dog. And the dog will come to like your husband and, take a little time. But the dog is also kind of the kind of dog that gets attached to one person.
Right.
More, and you're the person it's attached to. And so
exactly.
He's kind of protecting you from your husband.
Well, even that, you're always leery of that because some dogs can really get bad on that.
Yeah, I know. That's why he's also got to be a little bit of alpha wolf in a friendly kind of way,
Exactly.
But he can't let the dog know that he's intimidated by it, So it's
right.
a fine line, but it looks great here. And, really the world looks like it will start getting better. So hang in there a little bit too.
Go ahead.
Yeah, your grandkids look good. They look okay here. Your son's children, they look okay.
Yep.
They're adjusting to life without their father, and they're, doing what they're, Jim said they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So
exactly.
She's happy about that,
Because she's going to be starting her master's at Wake Forest in August for genetics counseling.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was wonderful. So, yeah, and your grandson looks good, too. So nothing bad's in your card. Everything looks good.
Good.
Ask Spirit to help a little bit with the dog.
I definitely do.
You need like a spirit dog whisperer,
Exactly.
Just say, please help, let's get this situation, but the dog's already made a remarkable adjustment to your home. So
that's what I felt too, And what I did today is it's not a shock thing, but it's a beeper thing. When she starts to bark, I told my husband, press the button. It's a pitch that she can only hear, and it's supposed to make her stop barking. And she did.
Good.
I noticed she did stop. So I got that. But it's not anything to shock her,
Right.
Because
no.
I'm like, there's enough going on with this dog to have to get used to.
Right. And that's great. And I guarantee a month from now, she'll be like an old member of the family.
I hope so, because he's getting frustrated.
I know. It's hard when you bring in an animal of any sort, too, because sometimes they always take to one person more than others. When we had our dog, a Schnauzer, it got very attached to my daughter, and if she were asleep, my ex-husband and I, none of us could go in her room when she was asleep or the dog would viciously bark. I thought it was going to kill us. guarded her while she was sleeping. I mean, you know.
Wow.
So we learned, don't go in that dog, don't go in that room when she's sleeping, you know.
That's right.
So, you know, so, and, you know, so some dogs are just possessive of the person that they're attached to. And I think you're the one. And
she kind of has a little bit of a problem towards my daughter's dog, too, Cole. She kind of, like, growls and stuff at him. So, again, we keep them separated, and I will use this little beeper thing with her when we're out there. If I see that she's getting to growl, I will beep her with this little thing, and it should stop her. But, yeah, but the two dogs next door, she doesn't have a problem with. I'm wondering.
I mean, she just might be a little jealous, I think, because I'm getting, like, jealous cards. A dog might just be jealous of, like, you know, that dog's in your family, you know, your husband's in your family.
Right.
I think it's a little bit of jealousy.
I was wondering, because my daughter's dog is black, too, you know, that black dog syndrome type thing that people can have. Well, maybe dogs can have that, too. You know?
Yes.
I don't know. And there again, did maybe a big black dog maybe hurt her or attack her at one time being out on the street?
Yes, this is all possible. So,
so it's all things I'm trying to keep in the head.
You keep in the head and
work
just be patient, okay? And, you know, call in and let us know what happens. But, you know, you have a lot of good karma around you for having adopted that dog, so. You know, we would like We would like to see, like, a little more peace in the house, though.
The other day, in the little pen area that we made for her to go out in the yard, because our yard was normally opened and stuff, we didn't have it blocked off, the red cardinal was standing on the fence.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Right on the red fence there. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I've never seen it over there. Not that there was a fence there, but I've never seen it over there. I've always seen it in the back near the bird feeder and stuff on the back deck and everything. But the bird was standing on the fence over there on the side by the pen.
Right. Wow.
And I'm just like, wow. I'm like, unfreaking believable.
Well, you know, you get a lot of signs from your son. He's a clear communicator. We just love that about him. And, you know, keep us posted. I'm going to try to get another
listener. I will. Yes, and please, I hope the first lady, I hope she finds some good peace.
Oh, my
from
goodness.
From the unfortunateness of her recent friend.
Yeah, I know, and
really,
it's funny because I just wanted to inform people that this is a horrible problem right now. Horrible.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's
terrible, and it seems to be getting worse.
Oh, it's getting worse. It's really bad,
you
know.
Yeah,
And so, you know, just let's all pray that somehow that situation, which is, you know, I call it the heroin holocaust. Let's hope that
gets horrible.
Better. It's horrible.
I mean,
well, good luck to you and enjoy the rest of the summer.
I have to let you go so you can get another call in. Please stay safe, everybody. Please have a great day and try to enjoy. And thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye, Pat.
Bye.
Okay, we have Susan. Okay, Nicole, what's with Susan?
All righty then. Well, I just had a very nice conversation with Susan. Let's see if you agree with me.
I love Susan.
Well, Susan is adorable because, first of all, when she's done with this call, she's sending me some healing for my damn sinuses, and I hope to God that she's successful because I can't stand my sinuses right now. But Susan and I had a very, very nice conversation in the chat room, and basically she had a breakup in December where, you know, her and this particular person she was dating, you know, really had a connection. In fact, he said that there was electric, you know, when they touched and things like that. And it was going well, but somehow the relationship got sabotaged, and now they're no longer together. So Susan is jumping back into the dating world. And basically, she wants to know, Cindy, when do you just let go and let God, you know, and stop dating and just stop doing everything and just let the universe take over? Now, I already gave her my opinion on this, but let's see if our opinions are similar or if they're different. So here we go to Susan. Hello, Susan. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking
Hi, Rahul.
It's always nice to speak to you.
Boy, so you've been dating a lot recently?
Yes. A lot of it is really doing a lot of screening. But I have met someone who, you know, we all know the story on the internet dating that, you know, a very handsome man appears in a picture and a jack-o'-lantern appears in person, missing his teeth and all that. I think maybe I'll bring
a
dentist over next
huh?
day. Right, right. So I actually have been in touch with someone who's a few years younger than I am. I wasn't comfortable with that, but I've gotten over that. We had our first date, many, many phone conversations and texts prior, and we had a five-hour date that was really wonderful. But as he's talking, all I'm doing is looking at the checklist of, maybe that wouldn't work, and maybe this wouldn't work. And I realized I was sabotaging myself. He's basically, I mean, I don't know enough about him, but he's intelligent, he's quick-witted, he's engaging, you know, genuine. We had a nice time. But at one point, I started having nightmares about it last night because I was thinking of all the possibilities, the negative ones. And that's when I said, maybe I should just give up on this. Like, when do you do that? I'm not, as you know, I am over 70, and I'm, it's like enough already.
Let me preface this. She's over 70, but she doesn't
not much.
But she doesn't look a day over 50 and a fabulous 50. Okay, so let's preface that. She's fashionable.
Oh, thank
she
you very
looks
much.
Beautiful. Okay, so now, yeah. I mean, you know, you've been doing online dating, and you're lucky. You've met some at least better quality than men than most
yes.
of my clients have met on there. So I don't know how you've managed. You've met at least some decent men.
Yes.
But, I mean, for you, you know, letting go and let God, you would still have to, you know, God can't airdrop your lover into your room. You'd still have to, like, get out there. Would you want to try something different than online dating, perhaps?
Well, I do make sure that I'm out there a lot. I know that no man is going to fall through my roof. So I get out of here and I participate in lots of different things. But there really hasn't been anyone that I was interested in. I feel like I get a better variety of people on some of the dating sites. I might be wrong, but, you know, that seems to
right,
be
no,
how
I mean,
I've been meeting
I mean,
people.
I don't think you're ready to stop being online because, you know, for you, I just see, like, just keep trying and don't get discouraged when it doesn't work out. Like maybe you're just feeling
mm-hmm.
a little defeated from it not working
right.
out.
I think I also have one foot in the past. You know, I got to pick that foot up and bring it into the future with my other foot. You know, I think
yep.
that's what it is also. Yeah.
Right. And that, you know, you're a person who really wants a relationship. So, you know, again, when you're meeting online, the problem is that, you know, a lot of the guys don't want commitment. There's a lot of, you know, just a lot of issues on there.
Right.
But if you
right.
don't take it personally, it's a good way to meet people. It's just if you take it personally and it affects your self-esteem, no, then it's not good.
Right. That hasn't happened yet. That's still intact.
Oh, good.
It's not about my thinking that he's not attracted. The man was already future tripping and planning future dates and all that. I think I just became fearful. Like, it just was too much too soon. I'm a slow burn, I guess, in life. I've been,
well,
you
didn't want to give him a try, though, and see if at
well,
all. You just
I think
wanna...
I will go out with him again. I will. But
because I would say not go out with him yet. You know, just keep in mind, you know, how you're feeling about
yeah.
him. But I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't stop seeing him, okay? Cause,
right.
I mean, it looks to me like you were just sort of overreacting last night to the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure what triggered it, but, you know, give him a chance. He looks like a nice enough guy, you know,
yeah.
Here.
You know,
and,
I've already checked him out.
He
gave me all his information on the internet and all that. So I know he's a real guy. I know where he works. I, you know, and he's multifaceted. He's smart and he's talented and he's musical. And there's a lot of pluses. You know, I was nervous about the fact that he's 5 years younger. He doesn't seem to care about that.
Well, yeah, and that's
yeah.
what I mean. Just give it a little bit of a chance. It looks like,
yeah.
you know, maybe you're getting scared because this, you know, remember we've discussed that you have some commitment issues yourself.
Right,
so
I do.
Is it possible that this just triggered your commitment phobia? Because this guy's not a commitment phobia. I mean, Nicole's laughing. Do you pick up that she's got some commitment issues here?
I said it flat out in the chat room.
Yeah.
What I said in the chat room was this. You know, I said, well, you know, once anybody has been hurt or burned or what have you, you know, you do have your own screening process, you know, and you have your own censorship, you know, of like what you want, what you don't want, and you kind of make your decisions based on that whole process, you know, of just, you know, weeding people out, so to speak. But if our ability to censor and to weed out was so great, we wouldn't need that sense of censorship in the first place. We'd probably be with somebody, or we'd be close to being with somebody. So I told Susan that she needs to let go of those controls. She needs to stop with her own, you know, way of censoring certain people, and she needs to stop with her own way of deducing, you know, who these people are. And the first thing that she said was that she didn't want to take advantage of people. She didn't want to go out with people that she really didn't, you know, that didn't check all of her boxes. I said, you know what, maybe they check a couple boxes, and then face-to-face they're completely different, because people do vary when they're what face-to-face versus the foot they're putting forward through text messaging or phone calls or even on dating profiles. You know, people are different in person. So sometimes it's okay to go out with people that maybe don't check every box just because the girl's got to eat, you know. Sometimes it's okay to go out with people that may not check every box just to see who they are in person and to have that one-on-one personal interaction. But to censor people just because they're not fitting what your criteria is because you have a checklist, you know, you're really kind of, you're using that checklist as a reason to not take a step forward with somebody. You're using
that
as a
process. It was more than that. Yeah, Nicole, it was more than that. I mean, I was attracted. We had a lot of fun. I just immediately started thinking of all the negatives. Oh,
but
this won't work because he lives in such and such a place. This won't work
because that's
also playing the game of blemish, looking for a reason to run.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to
and that's
that. If you're looking for something, eventually you're going to find it. So what I would do, and believe me, I was like that very, very much. I could find something wrong with anybody, you know, if I really, really wanted to. You know, I could find 10 things wrong with somebody. But what I started to do is for every one negative thing that I came up with, I forced myself to find at least two positive things about that person.
Oh, that's great advice.
You know, so that this way I wasn't necessarily forcing myself to undo something that was so natural, you know, because it was very, very natural for me to play the game of blemish and to point out flaws and to find flaws in people. But it's a matter of retraining your brain to not only focus on those negative aspects. So you have to retrain your brain. And part of retraining your brain is by saying, okay, look, I just identified one bad thing. What's two nice things about this person? You know, and then come up with them. And then when you can't come up with anything else, that's when you examine, okay, were there really more significant cons here, or are there a lot more things that are good here? You know, and then that's when you could take an honest look at it. But you have to retrain your brain. So, you know, if he lives too far, come up with two things that are great about him, you know,
and see
what really makes the difference at the end of the day. Because I can tell you right now, distance, unless you're talking hundreds of thousands of miles, you know, distance, that can be overcome at any time. You know, if two people want it, that can be overcome. You know, there's a lot of things that can be overcome. You know, if you put the effort into it, but you got to figure out whether or not it's worth the effort first. And in order to figure out whether or not it's worth the effort, you need to make yourself vulnerable and you need to put yourself out there. You can't expect them to give you everything so you could make a decision and then not give them anything in return because you're not ready to give them anything. Because then that's just going to be a complete turnoff and the whole thing is going to get sabotaged anyway.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I immediately start thinking, I don't know if this person is going to fit in with my family. I don't know if this person, this is what I do all the time.
That's also playing the game of blemish. That's also a lot of OCD.
That's part of it too.
Your OCD is kicking in because OCDs don't like change. It's a lot of change. So, you know, you might be realizing that you're kind of stressed out And that OCD is going to sabotage the relationship if you don't just give it a chance and, you know, relax a little bit on things, you know. So, you know, why don't you, you know, OCDs have to, the cure for OCD is the same for alcoholism. One day at a time, let go, let God. Can you go, you said, when should I let go and let God? Like maybe now, let's take it one day at a time. Let go and let God on this relationship and see where it goes.
Right.
And you don't have to have all the answers. And stop thinking, is this the forever guy? First, you got to see if this is the guy for a few months before this is the forever guy.
I don't know how much
guy.
More is left to forever.
Yeah, I know. So we all, you know, it looks like there's plenty, but the point is, it looks to me like your OCD and your worrying has really got over the top. Okay. So, you know, maybe.
All right. Thank you both.
Okay. And you sent me an email. I have nothing left for August. So, like, let me know when you'll be coming back from, you know, San
Diego.
How about
the beginning
and then,
of September? Okay. Nothing in the beginning of September?
Yeah, probably the first week there might be something. So
that's perfect. Anything. Just put it down and let me know.
Okay, perfect.
Day, evening, whatever works.
Okay.
I like
and
to
I look
see
forward
you
to seeing you. Okay. I like
good luck
to
with
you. You always look nice. You always dress nice. You always wear beautiful jewelry.
I'll try my
he
best.
He brings me little pieces of jewelry. Okay, good luck to you. Bye.
Thank you. I'll keep you posted. Thanks again, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to pick up TJ because I think he's sailing alone on the high seas. Hello, TJ. You're live and on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How's everything going?
It's beautiful out here, and I've been listening to your show, that and The Wind and the Waves. So I'll let you go back. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you're still alive on the high seas. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
We know he's alive on the high seas. Okay.
Listen, it's always good to have a check-in.
Okay. Now, let's see. Let's go. So we didn't screen too many. So let's see. Let's go over to. Oh, this one is. Let's see what Debbie Tony has to say tonight. She hasn't been on in about a month or so, so maybe she's got some new things to say.
All right. Let's go after Debbie Tony. Debbie Tony.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're live and on the air. How are you?
Well, when you pick me up, it makes me think that Dad has something to say. That seems to be happening a lot, very intuitive lately. I got this
news. Well, he didn't really have anything to say, in all honesty. That's not why I picked up, but he picked up to hear what you had to say.
How funny is that? Well,
I wasn't hearing anything from your dad. I just said, let's pick up Debbie Tony and see what Debbie Tony has to say. Now, first of all, Debbie Tony and I are doing a Zoom play on the Karma Bums on July 23rd. It's on Facebook, and I will put it on my website as well, where you could come see Debbie as Destiny, a psychic. And it's quite a funny show and moving. So we hope you'll all join us on the Zoom, right, Debbie? And they could talk to us before and after the show.
Yes.
July 23rd, Friday, 7 p.m., 7:30 p.m.
Friday. July 23rd. So July 23rd, that number keeps coming up all the time, the number 23. I had a call. It's on my credit card, and it was the guy's birthday. So 23 has to do with following your artistic gifts and paths. And yesterday, in a lesson with my friend Janet Cowell, who said, when I saw you, your cabaret, I really think you should pursue this. I said, you know, Janet, I don't think it's my passion. I think it's my calling.
Oh, there's a difference, isn't there?
And I see, because I just think that every direction I turn, it's pushing me in the direction that I was going before, and I just took kind of like the fork in the road. So I just feel like I'm getting a lot of support from people, and I've been taking this class in the city for an agent. At the end of the class, we perform in front of an agent. It's next week. It's in the city. I didn't think I could do it, but that's because of Tracy Lynn Connor. So because one person brings me into a whole new world, I feel like I'm getting the feedback I hadn't gotten when I was 19.
Wow.
And I And then all the stuff I did with you, and then I just got asked to do a film yesterday. Jerry Ferretti, he does films. I was in a couple of his films. He just called me up. I'm like, all right, I got to memorize script tonight. I have to memorize these songs, and I'm gaining my confidence back, which is really good. Thank God I didn't stop throughout, I think, the pandemic. Like you said, I think because my and you hear the plane in the background. Sorry, I'm outside.
Oh, sure.
Let it pass. My point is that I think I'm confident from continually to keep doing it. So I have a student now from Montana who wants to be an auctioneer. I said, I can't teach a student how to be an auctioneer. I said, well, yes, you can, and try, you know, take the client. It was an accidental hit. And there's so much to teach, and I still enjoy teaching, that I know I don't need a backup plan. I'm teaching, and I'm performing. What else do I need in my life? I should be happy.
Exactly.
So I am.
And again, I love the way Debbie brought up that she didn't slow down during the pandemic. She tried to perfect her skills in a different way, in a new way. And, you know, so a lot of people are emerging from this whole pandemic with new skills or better skills, or, you know, and just, I think it wasn't supposed to be an extended snow day where people did nothing for a year. It was supposed to be doing our craft and skills. So it's all going to pan out for you. When I just shuffled your cards, you have the Wheel of Fortune spinning. This is a really good time for you to start going forward with your career. It's a perfect timing for you. So, and of course, you know, you're always excellent in your acting, so wish you well. And again, we hope you'll all join us, and you'll get to see Debbie on Zoom. It's always fun, in case our listeners haven't seen Debbie, you will meet her on Zoom that day.
Yes, I'll put it on my Facebook page tonight. Debbie Toni is spelled D-E-B-I-T-O-N-I. Cindy Sansone Brass, they all know you already, but that's C-I-N-D-I, which I find very interesting that I just made that correlation today after 20 years of knowing you.
That we both have an I at the end. Uh-huh.
Yep.
For sure. Once
yeah.
My daughter brought me this card. It was a Hallmark card. It's so funny. Who would think there'd be a card like this? It said, my name is Cindy with an I, and it had this with an I, and it had this picture of this woman with this, like, third eye on her forehead. She only had one eye. Like, this is one big head on her forehead, Cindy with an eye. So
got it.
I thought, what? But it's a Hallmark card. I didn't think there were that many Cindys with an eye to make a Hallmark card. I don't know how she even found that, because it was before shopping online, you know? She saw
plus
it at the store.
It was with an eye, you know, like the third eye, the intuition eye. You get
yep.
it?
Yep.
That's
a double whammy. So,
it's a double entendre.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're all going to work on our third eye and get a lot of messages from the other side. And tonight was a very interesting show. We had a lot of, from the dating to the dog to the deaths from overdoses. It was like an interest, and to Debbie Toni. Well, we're going to knock this off in about a second, because that is what Blog Talk Radio does now. They knock us off in a second.
Okay.
So we're going to say goodnight to everybody, and we'll all speak next week. Have a great week. Nicole, is there anything you want to add tonight? Because you were pretty vocal. I'm glad that you picked up on Susan's commitment phobia, by the way. I can't believe you picked it up that fast.
She's good.
Oh, yeah. Right away, I picked it up. But, yeah, no, I don't think I have anything else to add. Just be nice to each other, everybody. Be well. And, you know, Cindy, as always, you did a wonderful job today.
Yes.
And we'll speak to everybody next week.
Thank you,
right.
guys.
Have a great week. Bye. See you all soon. Bye.
Bye.